Hey everyone, it's Thanos. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Greek Current podcast. We're here at HALC headquarters with Georgia Logothetis.
Hi everybody.
Good to have you back on our
episodes. Thank you.
This is our latest Ask HALC segment of the podcast, and joining us today is Nick Vazdakis. Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name, as Thanos said, is Nick Vazdakis. I am a Leadership 2030 Fellow here with HALC, and just involved with HALC and trying to do my part.
All right. And you got some questions for us.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Shoot away.
Sure. So there's been some recent news lately about the Greece Fyrom deal. And I actually read a New York Times article last week that was talking about, you know, some developments, some behind the scenes things that were happening between Russia, the U.S., former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia, and some new revelations there. So I just had some questions on, you know, what's the status of the deal? Are we moving forward with it? You know, what do we have to look forward to?
Where the deal stands right now, we got to look back to September 30th, and that's when Fyrom held its referendum on the name deal. And the result that we saw was overwhelmingly in favor of yes, to change the name so that Skopje could join, pave the way for Skopje to join NATO and the EU, as the question was posed. So the result was 94.18% yes.
But
and 5.82, you know, no. But Georgia, you want to jump in there?
Yeah, but one of the contingencies on the referendum was that turnout had to be above a certain number, and turnout was abysmal. What was the final turnout number?
Just under 37%.
Yeah, just under 37%. So I think it needed a 50. And it was a deliberate campaign to have people stay home from the polls. So it was actually pretty shrewd on the part of the opposition to the deal. They said, you know, hey, just don't go to the polls. They didn't tell people to go and vote no. They said stay home because they knew, obviously, it's easier to tell people to stay home than to try and convince them on the merits of the actual deal.
So yeah, and we saw before the referendum as well. I mean, we were monitoring the UN General Assembly, for example. Me and Georgia were watching the speech, actually, here at the office.
That's how we spend our time here.
When President
watching UN speeches.
When President Ivanov gave his address. And if we want to look back, he was the one who vetoed the deal originally over the summer. And Skopje's parliament overruled him to let the referendum pass. And he came out very, you know,
his
vocally,
whole speech, yeah, was against
essentially
it.
Against the deal and urging people not to go out and vote. And now that the opposition in Fyrom has seized on this, is questioning the legitimacy of the referendum, and calling the whole deal into question.
So, with all that being said, what are the next steps then after the referendum didn't have a big show up?
So this week, Prime Minister Zaev in Fyrom actually presented the deal to Parliament. So he vowed to take the result of the referendum, use it, and move forward and see if he can pass it through Skopje's Parliament. So the debates are ongoing as we speak at the time of this recording. He's trying to get members of the opposition to change their vote and join him and pass the agreement and ratified through Parliament.
The only thing I would add to that is, today's what, October? We're in the middle of October. There's a deadline on this deal, right?
Exactly.
So there were dates that were included in the agreement between the Greek government and the government in Skopje that basically put a deadline to the end of the year for all of this to essentially wrap up. And so think of, you know, we're just a couple months away from really crunch time on this. And the question is, you know, there's still a lot of steps to be done. So everything that you're hearing right now about what's going on in Skopje, the referendum, the parliament, that's all just phase one. Then it comes to Greece, you know?
Right.
If Zaev fails to get the parliamentary majority he needs to pass the agreement, he's said that he's going to seek elections, snap elections, to get that legitimacy and authority to pass a deal. In the event that that happens, Fyrom passes or ratifies the Prespa agreement, is going to get thrown down to Greece, where Greece's parliament has to ratify it. And in Greece, we've seen, obviously, mm-hmm. tensions have been...
It's a political football,
it's
sure.
Definitely, mm-hmm. Yeah, political football is one way to put it. But we have to remember that the name issue toppled a government back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So this is a really big domestic political issue. And the opposition in Greece, a New Democracy, has said that it doesn't support the deal. And even within Prime Minister Tsipras' coalition government, Panos Kamenos, the leader of the minority party, the Independent Greeks, has stated many times that he won't support the deal as it is either. Mm-hmm. But it gets a little tricky there because he claims that he won't do anything to harm the coalition either. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Yeah. First, we have to see how it plays out in Fyrom.
That's interesting. And the part of this deal is to have Fyrom name itself the Republic of Northern Macedonia?
North Macedonia.
North Macedonia? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And the name is just
and
one.
And the constitutional changes yeah. that will come okay. along with it.
Yeah, it's not as simple as just, oh, well, that's their name, you
sure.
know. The deal goes into great detail. A lot of stuff about them disclaiming any type of territorial claim to Greece, amending their constitution to make it very clear that they don't want to encroach on, you know, Greek territory, disclaiming any type of Hellenic heritage, Alexander the Great, everything like that. So,
and we saw a number of confidence building mm-hmm. measures before mm-hmm. the agreement was signed as well from mm-hmm. Skopje, where they took down, you know, the Alexander the Great statues,
renamed the airport,
renamed the highway to Friendship Highway.
I think so. Yeah.
So something to look forward to, but yeah, so that's essentially where it is right now.
So in terms of the opposition mm-hmm. to this deal, the article really highlighted that Russia has been involved, at least behind the scenes, and you know, through America's network of spies, and they've uncovered that there's intervention in making this deal or referendum pass, right? So we were talking earlier about people not showing up to vote. Apparently there were, you know, Facebook posts and ads going around, supposedly supported by Russians, and even a Greek-Russian, I guess, was involved as well. Very notable figure in northern Greece, Savvidis, I think, Ivan Savvidis.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you guys tell me about, like, why does Russia have a stake in this? What is their aim in influencing this referendum?
Georgia, you want to take a stab at the broad picture of Russia and geopolitics in the region?
Vladimir Putin likes to put his influence across the region, okay? So part of it is just asserting dominance, right? And putting his hand into elections and political processes to try and steer them into what he believes is most beneficial for Russia. And what Russia obviously wants to do is just keep garnering power vis-a-vis controlling or greatly influencing the foreign policy of weaker states. And I think mm-hmm. that's what they see with Fyrom.
And we have to mention, too, that, you know, Russia views NATO expansion
they don't want it.
As a threat.
Yes.
Right.
So part of this deal, I mean, the reason why the United States, like, you know, Secretary of Defense Mattis mm-hmm. was in Skopje, a number of Western leaders traveled to Skopje to support the yes camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the question even asks, you know, do you support the change in name that will pave the way for, you know, NATO membership eventually and EU membership? So Russia doesn't want to see NATO expand, especially mm-hmm. in a region that, if you're a student of history and you look back, you see, you know, that Russian influence.
Absolutely.
It's been a place where there's been Russian influence, even mm-hmm. up until the end of the Cold mm-hmm. War in the Balkans. So Russia has, you know, something at stake here. And
plus, Russia just likes chaos. Like you said, the one thing that they want is a weaker NATO, a weaker Europe. And that's what happens, because if this name issue doesn't get resolved, well, it's just going to continue mm-hmm. as is. Like, it's just going to keep creating tensions, keep inflaming nationalism on both sides. And that's, I think, what he wants.
Yeah. And you mentioned that New York Times article. And I really recommend everybody go and read it. Because it details this spy game that's going on in the Balkans mm-hmm. That, you know, makes for not only great reading, but gives you like an inside look at what is going on the ground. And you saw U.S. officials revealing, you know, the role that Russia is playing, especially, as you mentioned, using this conduit, Ivan Savvidis, who is this extremely wealthy individual who was a former member of the Duma, the Russian parliament, friends with Vladimir Putin, lives in Greece, has his, you know, finger kind of in a lot of things at Thessaloniki, including for our soccer fans, it's soccer team PAOK. A lot of you might remember him as the guy who famously ran on the pitch during a game with a gun holstered on his waist. But U.S. officials intercepted, you know, communications in June showing that he was working with the Russians to undermine the Prespa's agreement. And they passed on that information to Greek authorities. And we had the resulting action that Athens took to expel two Russian diplomats, to bar entry from two other Russian diplomats from entering Greece. And this article does a great job of exposing, you know, how they're trying to undermine the deal and not let it play out in its natural way.
Do you believe that this cooperation between U.S. officials and the current Greek government kind of reflects some of the, you know, positive relations that Greece and the U.S. have had recently with Tsipras coming to the U.S. and, you know, meeting with President Trump? Are these reflections of that, or?
Oh, definitely. And we just had last week, the defense minister, there were high-level meetings at in Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon, for example. The State Department and this administration, and previous administration as well, but they've really stressed the importance of places like Suda Bay, the role that Greece can play as that pillar of stability in the region. Undersecretary of State Wes Mitchell was quoted in that article as saying, you know, that we're cultivating Greece to be this anchor of stability in this region. And that doesn't just mean looking south into the Eastern Mediterranean. It also means looking north at Greece's border with the Balkans and ensuring that, you know, Greece can play that positive role together with the United States.
And kind of on the flip side of that question, you know, Greece has had, you know, relatively amicable relations with Russia in the past too. This seems somewhat troubling that they're kind of meddling in, you know, a deal that Greece is making with another country here. How does this affect the Greece-Russian relationship moving forward? Obviously, you know, we're not letting diplomats in, and you know, Greece isn't doing that. So what does that mean for Greece-Russia?
Well, I think that people are starting to realize that kind of their traditional view of, you know, Russian-Greek relationship is changing, especially in light of how the world is changing. So initially, a lot of the affinity for Russia's government and its policies was based on religion, right? Hey, they're Greek Orthodox, we're Greek Orthodox. And it's very deep historical ties. Exactly. It's
the blonde nation that's going to come down and, you know, save the enslaved Greeks
from
the Ottomans.
And that's ingrained in Greece, in the Greek culture right now, about, you know, well, you know, there are Orthodox brothers and sisters. Well, that's on one side of the ledger. On the other side of the ledger, though, you have the fact that Russia has routinely taken actions that are in direct conflict to Greece's interests. Now, obviously, at the top of the list, undermining NATO, of which Greece is a vital member, cozying up to Turkey, the deals between Erdogan and Putin. They've gotten closer economically, militarily. Turkey's buying the Russian missile defense system. So if you're a Greek person right now and you're looking at Russia and you're saying, yes, you know, we have these historical ties, but when we look at economic issues, issues of national security, issues of regional security, is Russia our friend right now? And the fact is, it's a fickle friend. Sometimes it is good for Greece and its bilateral relationship, but at a lot of times, Russia acts in Russia's interest. And Russia's interest is to cozy up to Turkey, which antagonizes Greece on a daily basis. It's blowing up, trying to blow up at least the firearm deal, which Greece is trying to push through in order to stabilize its relationship and progress economically, especially in the northern part of Greece. So yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that people will be reevaluating, I think, as it goes on. Does the religion still hold sway in terms of giving Russia a pass on all of these negative actions that it takes?
And I also want to point out, I mean, this is something that we've had conversations with, you know, officials and experts on as well. But a lot of people were concerned when the Tsipras government and Syriza stepped in that their comfortable relationship with Russia would undermine, you know, Western interests, the EU. Mm-hmm. But what we've seen, in fact, is the exact opposite. You know, conversations with Ambassador Jeffrey Pyatt, U.S. Ambassador to Greece, he's told us that, and we've heard him on the record many times say that, you know, relations between Greece and the U.S. now are at the mm-hmm. are at their best level since, you know, Harry Truman.
Absolutely.
And that looks, no matter who is in government in any upcoming election in Greece, which are scheduled for next year, that doesn't seem to be anything that will change either. So Greece is decidedly anchored into, you know, the West, into mm-hmm. NATO, into the EU, aligned with its with the United States, which is, you know, a crucial ally.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess Greece allowing, or at least voting in confidence, for Fyrom to join NATO and the EU, you know, that is a reflection of that. All right. Well, thank you guys for all of your insight, obviously.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here. And
we're always happy to take questions from people and from our members, especially. And just for those who are listening, a reminder that, you know, these Ask Calc segments are for you guys to reach out to us and, you know, ask questions about the topics that you're concerned about. Find out, you know, what's Calc doing on the name issue or in the community, what's going on. Maybe we'll be able to provide some insight and some answers and give you guys that access. So thanks for tuning in. It wraps up our Ask Calc segment this week, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Greek Current.